الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهد الله فهو المهتد، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله.
اللهم صل على محمد.
اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى قيام يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. In recent years, there has been a rise in interest regarding this idea of the significance and the importance of maintaining positive thoughts, positive attitude, positive outlook in life, being optimistic. And in fact, we find that this interest has produced a lot of, you know, books and articles. If you go to the bookstore now, you'll find in the sections, especially on self-help, in sections on psychology, and even in other sections, a lot of focus on living life with a positive attitude. And in fact, research suggests, research reveals that positive thinking is much more than just apparently maintaining happiness or maintaining an upbeat attitude in life, but that the real value of positive thinking and being optimistic, it has a real value on our work. It has a real value on our health and on our relationships and on our life in general. There was a study published by a positive psychology researcher by the name of Barbara Frederick from the University of North Carolina. And in this study, the study is about positive thinking, positivity. In this study, she shows how maintaining a positive attitude, maintaining positive thoughts, how it affects every aspect of human life. And so she conducted a research experiment. She brought her research participants and she divided them into 5 groups. And each of these groups, she showed them some video clips. The first group, she showed them video clips that induced joy. They were about joy and that they induced feelings of joy. The second group, she showed them videos that induced feelings of contentment. The third group was a control group. She showed them videos that were neutral. They did not induce any sort of feelings. They were neutral. The fourth, she showed them videos that induced fear. And the fifth, she showed them videos that induced anger. Now, after she conducted this experiment, after showing these participants these films, she gave each of these participants a paper with that was numbered from 1 to 20. And on each line it said, "I would like to do," and then a blank. And each, they went to fill this paper. And she found that those who watched the films that induced fear and anger, groups 4 and 5, that they were able to produce much less in terms of the number of items than those who watched the positive films, the positive clips, those that induce joy and contentment, and even more than, or even less, while those who watched the positive clips were able to come up with more answers than even the neutral, the control group. And basically, and it's a long study, she has a very long study, you can find it online, it's available. The study basically suggested that it was not just about immediate effects of positive thinking. It's not that these individuals in the first two groups, that they saw these films that induced joy and contentment, and that they were immediately able to come up with good answers. But that positive thinking and positive attitudes help the individual to build a skill set that helps them in various aspects of their lives. That creating and entertaining positivity and optimism enhance our ability to build these skills that would be beneficial in other aspects of our lives. And there are many other studies out there that suggest the significance of maintaining a positive attitude and positive thinking on aspects of our lives, such as our health. I even read a report, now I don't know to what extent, but this report was suggesting that maintaining positive behavior even affects a person's ability to cope even with a common cold. Person has stronger capability to overcome even common cold. I don't know. At any rate, these studies, what they suggest is that maintaining positive attitude and optimism is helpful in every aspect or in many aspects of our lives. They allow us to reduce the level of stress that we experience, the level of distress that we experience, and many other factors. Now, when we come to our tradition, we find that the Islamic tradition maintains a very long tradition of encouraging this type of behavior, encouraging positivity, encouraging optimism, encouraging believers to always uphold a positive attitude toward every aspect in life, whether large or big. And this is known in the Islamic tradition, in the Quran, and in the hadith literature, in the tradition, as husnul dhann, as maintaining this state of mind and the state of action where our thoughts are positive, where we think of positive things, where we attempt to dispel any negativity in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, and in our environments. Imam Ali alayhi salam in the hadith regarding husnul dhann, he says, husnul dhanni rahatul qalbi wa salamatul deen. Through maintaining positivity, two things happen. Number one, rahatul qalb, that the heart, the soul, finds what? It finds peace, serenity. And it's true. We find that many times when we maintain positivity, we're able to overcome a lot of stressful, experiences, stressful environments. Through what? Through maintaining positivity. Through thinking about the positive consequences. Through being optimistic. وَسَلَامَةُ الدِّينِ. And not just when it comes to our emotional well-being, but even our spiritual well-being. Even the well-being of our faith is enhanced when what? When we are positive. And our teachings, they emphasize that we maintain positivity in every aspect of our life, and first and foremost, beginning with our attitude towards God. With our attitude towards God. Meaning what? Meaning the way that we perceive God has to be one that is based on optimism, based on hope, based on positive thoughts and perceptions of God. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He says, لا يموتن أحدكم حتى يحسن الظن بالله. Let not any of you leave this life unless you are able to maintain a positive attitude towards God. To think positively of God. And then he says what? He says, فَإِنَّ حُسْنَ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ ثَمَنُ الْجَنَّةِ. If we want to know the value, the price that is paid for paradise, for success in the hereafter, is what? Is to maintain a positive understanding and a positive perception of God. In fact, according to the hadith al-Qudsi that it has been narrated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am as my servant thinks of me. إِنْ خَيْرًا فَخَيْرًا وَإِنْ شَرًّا فَشَرًّا. If my servant thinks of me in a positive light, is optimistic, is hopeful of my mercy and my compassion, then what? Then he or she will experience that mercy, will experience that compassion, will experience that goodness. And vice versa. If this person is pessimistic, if this person has despair, if this person disregards perception of God in this positive way, he or she will face the consequences also. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he tells us, إِنَّ الْبُخْلَ وَالْجُبْنَ وَالْحِرْسَ غَرَائِزُ شَتَّى. البخل, greed. الجب, cowardice. الحرس could be extreme diligence, or sometimes even translated as jealousy. These are what? These are different. They are different instincts. They are all negative instincts. They are different. But he says that the common denominator between these is what? He says, يَجْمَعُهَا سُوءُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ. What brings these two together, their common denominator, is when one maintains a negative or a pessimistic attitude towards God. How? If we look at the first example, al-bukhl, greed. Why is it that people are greedy? You'll find that they may make money, right? Right? They have a good job, they have a good income, good salary, but yet they maintain greediness. They're not ready to give. They're not ready either to give, you know, to others or even to their own family members or even sometimes to spend on themselves. Why? Because such individuals are very keen on safeguarding their money. They think that by not spending, by not giving, that they are doing what? They are doing themselves a favor. They are saving their money. But essentially what this sort of idea suggests is what? Is that they have no dependency on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they believe that if they give their money, that's it, khalas, it's gone. And it's going to be very difficult. I have to go to work 9 to 5. Before that traffic, after that traffic, I have to run in order to make these few dollars. And so if I give them away easily, khalas. And so we maintain this state of greediness because what? Because we think pessimistically, or we completely ignore the role of God in our lives, that God is a sustainer. We have no optimism, no hope that when I help others, when I give others, when I spend in the way of Allah, that what happens? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will maintain His sustenance upon me. When we come to the other example that the Imam gives us, Imam Ali says, the second example, he says what? He says cowardice, al-jubn. The basis of cowardice or jubn is what? Is fear. It is fear. The basis of this fear is what? Is that we find ourselves as having no helper. When someone assumes that they have no recourse, they have no solution, they have no helper, especially in the face of fear, they end up acting cowardly. And in doing so, maintaining a negative, a pessimistic attitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we find that these traits, their common denominator is that one holds a pessimistic view of God. Another aspect of our husn al-dhan, positive attitude, positive thinking towards God, is this idea of despair, rejection of despair. Our traditions, the Quran and the Ahadith, they maintain that a believer is one who must reject despair at all times. Despair is never an option. Never fall into despair, no matter what we experience in life, no matter what kind of difficulty, no matter what kind of challenges we find in life, we have to be able to reject despair, not allow despair to enter our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. The Quran gives a beautiful example of Prophet Ya'qub, Jacob, peace be upon him, when he is instructing his children to go to Egypt and to look for their brother. He tells them what? He says, go, my sons, go and look for your brother and do not despair. وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Go and do as you're supposed to do. But don't come to a point where you begin to despair of the mercy of God. No matter what kind of challenges, no matter how long it takes you to find your brother, no matter all of the obstacles that you have to pass and face and overcome, do not despair. وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. According to Jacob, peace be upon him, he says despair is only an option for a non-believer, never an option for a believer. A believer always has to maintain hope and dependency in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is in regards to our attitude towards God. But also concerning our attitude towards the creation, toward others around us. We are encouraged to always think positively of people, to always give people the benefit of the doubt, to always, to the extent possible, to avoid suspicion, avoid entertaining negative thoughts or suspicious thoughts of others around us. The Quran tells us very clearly, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. Avoid suspicion. Avoid much suspicion, most suspicion, the Quran tells us. Because a great deal of this suspicion is what? It is based on sin. It is sin. It is immoral. It is not based on evidence. It is based on conjecture. And so it could be misleading. It could cause problems for the one who is holding and also for the other, the victim of suspicion. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, اطلب لأخيك عذرا. Always do what? Always request or look for an excuse for your brother. When you meet someone, brother here is general, not just, you know, brother, blood brother, but a community member, any community member. When you see something or when you hear something, always look for, and you have the option, either to think positively or negatively, right? You're not sure. You've heard something, you've seen something, but you're not sure. There's no certain evidence that would push you to one way or the other. Always hold a positive thought. Always give your brother the evidence, the benefit of the doubt. Always give your brother the benefit of the doubt. أطلب لأخيك عذرا. And then he says, فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدْ لَهُ عُذْرًا فَالْتَمِسْ لَهُ عُذْرًا. This is very beautiful. He says, sometimes when you try to give your brother the benefit of the doubt, you're thinking, right? And you're not able to come up with an excuse for him or her, then do what? Make an excuse up. Don't arrive to a point where you can entertain suspicion. This is the extent that we are encouraged to dispel suspicion, to always give people the benefit of the doubt, to always think positively of others around us. I read a story once about a lady. She had gone to the airport. She was traveling, and so on her way to the gate, she stopped at one of the little, you know, stores, the souvenir shops, and she picked up a book to read and a pack of cookies. And so she went and she sat next to the gate. She sat next to the gate on the seat and she began to read, waiting to board the flight. And so she, as she was reading, she reached to her side and she grabbed the cookie and she ate the cookie. She was reading. And then she noticed that the man that was sitting next to her was also reaching into the bag of cookies and eating. And so she took another one and she ate the second one and she was reading, or pretending to read because her mind was somewhere else. She noticed that the man once again reached and ate a cookie. And it went back and forth and she became furious. How can this guy have the audacity just to reach and eat these cookies? And so she began to become furious, thinking, what should I do? Should I say something? Should I confront him? This is so wrong. But she said, let's see what happens. So she continued munching on these cookies one by one until the last cookie. So she thought to herself, she said, you know what? I'm going to test this guy. I'm going to see if he really has the audacity to eat this last cookie. So she notices that the man picks up the cookie, he breaks it in two, he places half, and he eats half. She becomes furious. So she takes the other half, she eats it, and then she boards the flight. When she boards the flight, as she's sitting, she takes the book, she's about to put it in her purse, she notices that the bag of cookies that she had purchased was in her bag. Realizing that in fact the cookies that she was eating were not her cookies. Realizing that the man, out of his goodwill, said nothing and brought nothing up, even to the point of what? Of sharing the final cookie. You know, the hadith, they tell us, make 70 excuses for your brother or sister. 70 excuses. Meaning what? Meaning do everything in your capacity to dispel suspicion. Do not allow suspicion or negativity to enter your mind. Especially when there is no absolute and certain evidence. It's not about being naive. Sometimes you see evil, you hear evil, you are sure of it, right? It's not about dismissing it, putting your head in the ground and being naive. No, what husnul dhan is, it means that we exhaust all avenues of positivity before proceeding to entertaining negative thoughts, before proceeding to thinking negatively about others around us. I read an anonymous quote that said, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the capacity to guide our hearts and our minds, and to give us the capacity to live our lives with husnul dhan, with positive thinking and a positive attitude towards our Creator and towards others around us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihati wa tawasaw bil-haqqi wa tawasaw bil-sabr. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وأهل بيته وعلى علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وإمام الهدى الحسن والحسين سيد شباب أهل الجنة وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم. Today, December 2nd, marks the one-year anniversary of the tragic shooting that took place in San Bernardino last year, where a number of individuals were killed, a number of others were seriously wounded. And we join with the families in mourning these tragic losses. And we find that since that event and other events preceding and succeeding it, that there has been an uptick in anti-Muslim sentiment, that there has been a perpetuation of this cycle of fear, of hatred, that this fear is breeding more fear, that individuals and organizations are breeding fear and divisiveness in our communities, that they are pitting community members against one another, and that they are perpetuating these cycles of fear. And so we find that many Muslims, American Muslims in particular, they're afraid. Many of them, they live in a state of fear, and rightfully so in many cases, because we find that there have been many instances in which Muslims have been harassed, Muslims have been abused, and there have been instances in which they've been attacked, that Islamic centers have been attacked just recently. You may have heard a number of mosques and Islamic centers here in California and other places in the country have been receiving letters, threatening letters. And just recently, there was an event held just a few days ago with law enforcement regarding this issue. We find other instances of anti-Muslim hatred and bigotry. And so many Muslims are living in fear. We're seeing this and we're living in fear. But what's important, brothers and sisters, what we have to remember, keep in mind, is not to allow the debilitating effects of fear to prevent us, to preclude and to prevent us from having firm faith and firm resolve. I mentioned in the first khutbah that when it comes to our teachings reject this notion of despair. That a true believer is one that never has despair. Yes, fear sometimes may creep in. There may be instances of anxiety, of stress, but that this should never lead to a moment of despair where we are paralyzed, where we may think of turning away from our faith or questioning our faith or turning away from having strong resolve to be committed to our faith. And this is something that is emphasized in our tradition. In fact, with the beginning of the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, our tradition tells us that this period marks the time where the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where he migrated, or rather where he fled Mecca towards Medina. As many of you know, the Prophet was victim to a number of assassination attempts in his life. The Quraysh in Mecca, they came to a point where they decided they wanted to assassinate the Prophet, and so they met together and they decided that they would have 10 representatives of the various clans all attack the Prophet at once in the middle of the night in order to assassinate him. And we're told of the heroic position of Imam Ali in defending the Prophet, his loyalty towards the Prophet, in volunteering to sleep in his place while the Prophet fled from Mecca towards Medina. The tradition tells us that the Prophet, on his way, when he fled Mecca, he went and he hid. He didn't go directly to Medina, but he went and he hid in a cave. And with him, the Quran tells him, was one of his companions. And so you can imagine that this is a very stressful time for the Prophet. That what? That he is running away, he's being pursued, he's running away from this assassination attempt, and he's being pursued. In fact, they are coming to look for him. When they realized that he was not there, they went to pursue him. And so, the Quran relates to us this story of the Prophet and his companion. The tradition tells us that the companion that was with the Prophet was Abu Bakr. That they were together, they were leaving, they were hiding in this cave, and Abu Bakr was in a state of fear because of the circumstances. So he turned to the Prophet and he told the Prophet. He told him, I'm in a state of fear, I'm afraid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he brought down the revelation upon the Prophet. The Prophet turned to his companion and he said, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ. When the Prophet turned to his companion and he told him, do not fear. Don't be stressed. Do not fear. Inna Allaha ma'ana. God is with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware. He's seeing our circumstances. We should never be in a state of despair or fear to the point where we have no faith and no hope in the mercy and the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it's important for us, brothers and sisters, to always nurture this dependency and faith in Allah. And that we remind and encourage our children also. Because many of them are going out to school. And unfortunately, the rise in bullying is something that has become predominant and prevalent in our communities also. Many children, young children, boys and girls, they're being bullied because of their names, because of the way they dress, or because of their religion. And so it's important for us to also nurture in our children the importance of having strong faith, that they realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware and that Allah is the source of mercy and compassion upon us. To nurture and encourage in our children the state in which they are unapologetically Muslim. Not that they're running away from their faith and their deen, but that they are unapologetically Muslim. That they have strong resolve, they are proud of their faith. They are proud of their teachings. And number two, brothers and sisters, is that we appreciate and we strengthen the bonds of community relations. And I've mentioned this a number of times. This is a very important issue, brothers and sisters. It's important that we continue both within the Muslim community, because it helps to know that you're not alone. Sometimes when you're facing some of these obstacles, if you feel that you're alone, then what happens? You lose faith, you lose hope. But it's important that we strengthen these bonds of community so that we know that we're not alone, that there are others. And this is not just within the Muslim community, even outside the Muslim community. Many who are facing discrimination and bigotry and hatred, that we're not alone. That there are others around that we can go to for support, and we can go to strengthen these bonds. And then also outside, when it comes to our interfaith relations, when it comes to our social relations, our relations with our neighbors and with our co-workers, it is these bonds that help us during these times. Just today, and I'll end with this, just earlier this morning, I was listening to the radio, and I heard a very beautiful and inspiring story. The story is about the ex-wife and the two daughters of one of the victims of the San Bernardino shooting. He left behind his ex-wife and two daughters. At the time, one was 15, the second was 12. Karen Fagan and her family. And so she says, she was saying this story on the radio. She says that after this issue happened, there was a lot of spotlight, media attention, and we weren't used to it. And so we thought, how can we take advantage of this? By doing what? By taking a stand. She said, we went to the White House, we attended President Obama's, talk on gun control and all of that, and we met victims of other incidents, those from the Sandy Hook school incident, others, and they told us, they said, yes, take a stand against guns and against gun violence. But she says, that's not what I was thinking about. The stand that we decided to take, her and her daughters decided to take, was a stand against hatred, a stand against discrimination. She said that we had seen and we had heard about the rise in Islamophobia, of anti-Muslim sentiment, when Muslims are discriminated against because of the acts of a few perverse individuals. And so she said, we could not tolerate this. We could not tolerate that people were hating and discriminating against Muslims. And so we take a stand against bigotry, against hatred. And she says, a lot of people, they came to us and they were disappointed. How can you defend these people? These people are terrorists, these people are... But she says that it is during these times, very inspirational, she says that I began to think about this tragedy as an opportunity, that there was something, an opportunity for us to be brave during this time and to really take this courageous step against hatred. And so it is these relations, brothers and sisters, that we have to foster. We have to be able to turn to one another, to support one another. And this is not just within our own community, but even outside the boundaries of our community. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the capacity to guide us, to give us the capacity towards goodness, that so that we are agents of positive change in our lives and in the lives of others. قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.